questions and the prayer. If you please stand.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Dear Lord, we ask for your blessing today. We ask you for your wisdom and guidance so we may make decisions in the best interest of the citizens of Butler County. We ask that you keep and bring back our men and women who are fighting for our freedoms in faraway lands. We ask this in your name. Amen. Before we get to Matt, why don't we do communications?
Okay, first we'd approve minutes from the last meeting, December 8th. 18th, travel and training, grant, probate, court, law clerk, leave of absence. Approved two change orders, one for Yankee Road extension and one for Cincinnati Dayton Road widening under county engineer. Exchange bonds for Cedarbrook Section 7B, Yankee Estates Section 21, and Cedarbrook Section 7A. Under environmental services, approve amendment number one with Hazen and Sawyer PC agreement. Change order number one for Trenton Lift Station. Approve Amlin of Ohio installment payment. Receive and refer bids for Green Lawn Water Main replacement and for disposal of biosolids and for purchase of sodium hypochlorite. Under finance, approve transfers and appropriations. Fund distribution of balance and internal service fund, 5100 health insurance. Health fund, 5100 advance repayment resolution. Those are both to our settlement with Cigna. Approve transfers on claim money funds. Job and family services, authorize suspension of a social service worker. Approve four child daycare contracts. Advertise for bids for procurement of lease space. Approve contract with Fountain Works for consulting services. Under miscellaneous, reimbursement to Marianne Williams of Workforce One for development meeting. Accept report of revenues and expenditures from the Treasurer's Office. Extend real estate tax billing services with Smart Bill LTD. Accept resignation of Kathy Ramble from the Regional Transit Authority Board. Appoint Commissioner Jolivet to the OKI Board for 07. Issue new money bond issue bond. Approve memorandum of understanding with OGRIP for 07 grant funds. Approve and execute agreement with Bernstein and Company. Receive and refer bids for countywide telephone system. Execute contract with Pictometry International Corporation. Approve Record Center Employee and Appreciation Awards Luncheon. Reimbursement to Cartwell for EMA plan exercises. Approve addendum to contract with CSEA and Butler County Auditor. And approve last one, execute a job and family service agreement with Myers Incorporated for employee appreciation.
There's no alterations or change. I'll move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Thank you. And welcome, Sheriff. It's nice to see you here.
Yes, sir.
Don't read into anything to my colleague being away from you. I'm not operating on all cylinders today, so and Derek, you'll just have to take your chances to
yeah.
I'm contagious or not. Matt, we'll go into update on the 800 megahertz system.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Appreciate the opportunity to come and speak. What I'd like to do is just, I guess, start at the beginning, so to speak, to help kind of put this all in perspective a little better.
Hey, Matt, why don't you introduce yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You are being watched now by people online.
I'm used to working in the back room. I apologize.
All right.
My name is Matt Franke. I'm, I guess, employed as the project manager for the countywide communication system. The countywide, I think, you know, in looking back and trying to decide when exactly this all started, I think you have to go back to the middle 80s when the county first implemented the enhanced 911 system. And that was really the first time that public safety entities had to begin to work together. And we installed that system late in the 80s. And I think that was kind of the beginning to show that when we flipped the switch and agencies that had never been connected in any way, shape, or form were now connected, and the fact that the sun came up the next morning was that there were some real possibilities here. Also at that time, as some of you are aware, that, you know, some cities merged their formerly separate police and fire dispatching into a single function. In the early 90s, Westchester essentially took the lead and installed a trunked radio system, which was new technology at the time, but it combined separate police and fire systems and public works systems all into one common system. The success of that prompted notice around the county, and the commissioners back in the middle 90s actually put together a task force to address the communications issue. And so here we are today, almost 20 years later. So this is not a recent issue at all. Unfortunately, the unfortunate incident that transpired with the shooting of Deputy Roberts that really brought this and to the forefront again, and just a couple years ago, and the commissioners at that time saw the need, saw it was time in that sense to stop looking at it and actually try to accomplish something, took the lead, and with the support of the public safety and most governments in the county, added the sales tax, the 0.5% sales tax, in order to accumulate funds to really build this countywide communication system. What we worked off of at that time was essentially a consultant's estimate that the cost of such a system would be $25 million. That consultant's estimate was based upon the information at the time and essentially done from outside the county with information from within the county. What happened on the process then is once the sales tax was in place, the commissioners put together a steering committee, or advisory committee, if you will, made up of public safety and other representatives from around the county. That committee, with the help of the consultant, sat down and actually wrote the bid spec for the system that was put out to bid earlier this year. The results of that bid were much higher than what the estimate was, and this can really be attributed to four factors that really up the price. The first was the fact that consultant's bid only included the area that is Butler County itself, and the committee soon realized that we couldn't discard the county borders in places like Middletown and Monroe, where they have grown past the borders. It was impractical to think that ambulances going to the new Middletown Hospital would have to switch systems, or the fact that Middletown Police and Fire and Monroe Police and Fire would have to operate on different systems simply within their own jurisdiction. So we expanded the range to include all those areas that are covered by public safety agencies that are essentially housed or based within Butler County but go outside the borders. So that included those areas to the east that I just discussed, the areas to the north of Somerville into Preble County, and then the areas north and west around College Corner where it goes into the adjacent counties there. So adding that coverage area and also deciding on a coverage standard which required additional sites. And if you look at the additional sites that were required to meet that coverage standard and meet that expanded area, that essentially raised the cost by approximately $2.5 million. The second item that added to the cost was the fact that the original consultant's estimate was based upon those frequencies, those 800 megahertz frequencies currently licensed and being used in Butler County at the time. During the process of the committee's work in that, we were able to license 5 additional frequencies for use on the system. Adding 5 frequencies to the system, essentially going from 10 frequencies to 15 frequencies on the system, a 50% increase, added almost just under $3.5 million, which was over and above what the estimate was. The third item was a belief that based upon the existing equipment that was housed in the dispatch centers throughout the county, that it was going to simply require a software upgrade. Essentially, it's the same model of equipment that was proposed in the bid. The consultant believed it was going to be a software upgrade. It ended up being a hardware and software upgrade. This alone, and adding additional backroom equipment to move from conventional radio channels to trunking, essentially added another $2 million worth of equipment that was unanticipated in the estimate. The final part of this was the connectivity to 9 separate dispatch centers in the county, and the bid set spec required connectivity to all 9 of those dispatch centers into the radio system. When you look at connecting all those and adding the microwave hops and the equipment necessary and that for those 9 centers, that added just over $2 million. So if you add up those figures that I just gave you, that is just over $10 million of added need, if you will, which raises the 25 to 35, and the bid received, or the response that Motorola provided to the bid spec, was $34 million and change. So that kind of accounts for the differences there. What we did with that, and as you recall, we were essentially, even though we were over, we were essentially happy with the bid because it was a competitive bid. Even though we only received the one, we did have another active bidder who prepared a bid. Motorola was aware that there was another vendor that was going to bid on it. Unfortunately, that vendor did not send their response ahead of time, and they were involved in a traffic accident on the way to the bid opening, and they arrived late and we were unable to accept it. But so we know that the Motorola number was competitive, and so we worked on that. And what we've done then is we went back as the committee. We worked cooperatively there, looking at all the various aspects of it to see what we could do, what we could do different, and how we could bring this number down. We've done a number of things going both directions. The original 34 plus million dollar bid included a number of leases on existing towers, which, although not included in that $34 million figure, added up to many millions of dollars over the 15 years that we were working on our business plan for this system. What we've done is in most of those situations, we've moved off an existing tower in favor of constructing our own tower, which did two things. It provided us better coverage for that area, because of the better location and also many times additional height that was necessary in that area. And the other thing, the payback on us constructing our own tower as opposed to leasing space on commercial towers over the, it provides us about a 10-year payback. So on the 11th year, it's money back in our pocket that would have been spent, but it is money up front. And unfortunately, that money up front is nearly $3 million for us constructing 10 new towers for this system. But so $3 million is added on to essentially the purchase price, but we are essentially going to pay ourselves back over time, and we will be money ahead long before we reach the 15th year of the system. The other thing that we've done is we've taken the dispatch connectivity issue out of the radio system, and we're going to utilize the county fiber to accomplish that connectivity. We don't have all the numbers on that yet, and I can't provide you what that figure is. We made plenty of other changes in various aspects, and I won't bore you with all those details. I will tell you it's been an outstanding effort. It was great to sit around the table. I've been in government a long time. And I can tell you the last thing on anybody's mind is to get around a table with 18 people on a regular basis and try to accomplish anything. But this definitely broke my preconception there. And it has been highly successful. And I can't say enough about the committee members and also the support we've received from the commissions, from the commissioner's staff, and from the police chiefs and fire chiefs and all the governments in the county. We've gone out to look for tower sites. We've asked for property to build towers. And almost to the final one, everyone has been extremely cooperative on that. Where we ended up with the bid and to review the contract that the commissioners approved based upon the committee's recommendation back in September was we did a contract that was essentially in three phases. And the first phase, which was approximately $24.5 million, essentially, which is what we're underway now with, is building this radio system, which includes 14 tower sites and 15 channels that will cover the entire service area, as we refer to it, which includes all of Butler County and those extensions that we spoke about earlier. It covers it to a standard. Actually, it's a little bit confusing to talk about the standard, because the standard is actually the guarantee that Motorola is contractually required to provide. And that standard, I'll tell you, and it basically says that in most buildings, most medium-sized buildings, which would include strip malls and schools and office buildings and things like that, up to that size, that it'll include coverage 95% of the areas in Butler County, 95% of the time. That's the guarantee. Motorola,
that's a pretty high standard, isn't it?
That is an extremely high standard. The fact is, you can't, to approach 100% would be next to impossible. And I would shudder to think what cost we would incur trying to get to that. And again, I remind you that this is the standard that Motorola is guaranteeing under contract, meaning that when we go through the testing, if it doesn't meet this 95%, they have to provide the additional towers, the additional equipment, whatever is necessary to meet that. And so we're extremely confident that we are going to exceed that, because Motorola has been in the business a long time. They don't make many mistakes, and that's why when it seems expensive, and it is a very expensive undertaking, we know that when they say that they can do this, that we're confident that it's gonna meet those needs. That was the standard when we sat down as a committee. That was our direction from the commission, and we asked the police chiefs and the fire chiefs in this county what they needed in a radio system, what they wanted in a radio system, what kind of coverage, where and when, and under those applications, and we're confident that this is going to meet those requirements. The total cost, I guess, to jump ahead a little bit in that sense, to the first phase includes the entire radio system, which is all the 14 radio sites, which will mean it'll be a working system. That first phase includes all approximately 43% of the subscriber radios, the mobiles and the portables, that the public safety forces in the county said that they needed to operate on the new system. That's what we were able to do within the parameters of the $25 million that we were accumulating. With that being said, you have accomplished what you set out to do, which is build a countywide communication system. The difficulty we have is we still have some finishing to do on it to make it the best. The coverage is exceeded by no one in the country that I'm aware of. We're going to have as fine a coverage as there is out there. What we're lacking is the rest of the radios necessary for the public safety folks to utilize the system to its fullest. And we need to connect the dispatch centers into the system. The total cost right now for the three phases. The second phase would complete the purchase and acquisition of the radios necessary for police and fire, and then the third phase would include the radio consoles for the dispatch centers. And that total is, I believe, $31.6 million for that total. I'd like to say that's the end, but unfortunately that's just the beginning, because once we have this system up and operating, we're going to have to maintain it. It's a very complex system of wires and radios and there's too many computers involved for me to even count. as all these towers have to talk together. They have to literally transmit at the same time for it to operate, and so there's a lot of equipment that makes this system operate, and the expense of maintaining it and keeping it up to date is not cheap. We're working on those ongoing expenses now for you, but we estimate that once we're out of warranty, once we've moved in past that stage, that we're gonna definitely be somewhere around $1.5 million annually to maintain this system. And based upon the final configuration, that could rise to, you know, closer to $2 million, but somewhere in that range, in that range starting out. There are also some other considerations that I do want to bring before you and make sure that everybody understands that we are aware of them, that we're not oblivious to them, or we're not trying to hide anything. We have, as I spoke of the 14 radio sites, we have the need for the central controller, if you will, what we call the master site, which is where the computer, the brains behind this entire network resides, which is what connects the dispatch centers to the radio network, which makes all this work. We also need people to run it. The county has no one in place that we can hand this off to, because the county hasn't had anything like this before. We've been operating on independent radio systems all these years, there's no one in place, and this is too expensive of a venture, too great of an expense to the taxpayers of this county to not have someone taking care of it, so we don't waste that money by not maintaining it. I think that from the public standpoint, it seems like an incredible amount of money, and it really is, and I wish it wasn't that expensive. But I think also that you have to look at what this would replace ultimately in the county. And I think that most people don't understand how many radio systems they're currently paying for, because almost everyone is paying for one for their local fire department, their local police department, their local road department. They're also paying one for the county engineer and the county sheriff, and you have all these overlappings in the school districts and their utilities. All these different groups have radio systems, and I just asked Dave when I came in. I said, "How many actual frequencies are out there that we're looking to replace with these 15?" And he counted up 34, just right off the top of his head, that we would be replacing with this. So that's the advantage of the trunk system. You don't use as many frequencies, and yet you can accomplish so much more. That's why the FCC requires trunking at these higher frequencies when they open it up, because the radio spectrum is a finite resource. There isn't more of it out there. The frequencies that we're talking about now, and you gentlemen are almost as old as I am, so you remember when your TV set went up to channel 83, and TVs only go up to 69 right now. And so the frequencies that we're currently using in Oxford, the frequencies we're currently using in Westchester, is what used to be in that range of TV channel 70 to 83. And with the digital TV coming, our next radio bandwidth is going to come from what's currently TV channel 60 to 69, because the digital, they're able to compress the signals. But I think that's important for people to understand that the radio, it is a finite resource, because you just can't keep getting higher, because ultimately you hit light and then you're out of radio waves. And that's why this requirement is here. That's why we have to trunk, even though it makes sense for us. The trunking requires all these computers that we didn't have to have in a conventional radio systems. It is far more expensive than what people are used to. The best analogy I can give there is if you were in an office and you remember when the desks had typewriters, and now the desks have computers, and those computers are cabled together, and there's a server in the back room. There's a whole lot more stuff there than there used to be, and more stuff usually means more expense plus more people to take care of that. And that, unfortunately, is a fact of life in technology, but that's where we are. So where we are today, we are under contract on the phase one. We are moving forward with building this radio system. And the committee is working to finalize in the next 3 months the level that we're going to provide equipment to the dispatch centers. It's all, nearly $4 million to replace the consoles in 9 separate dispatch centers, total of 31 or 32 console positions in those centers. The committee still has to look at that and decide the best way to do that. The committee is still working also on determining the formulas for dispersing the radios amongst the police officers and firefighters. And the biggest challenge that the committee is facing right now is just the ongoing operation, the structure of the organization that will maintain the system on a day-to-day basis, the organization that'll look for at enhancements and expansions of the system necessary over the next few years and make recommendations for those purchases. With the deadlines that we have to decide on the phase one or phase two and phase three, rather, to keep us on schedule, and we are currently on schedule right now, those decisions have to be made in the next 3 to 4 months. The schedule right now calls for the system to be on the air and operating in the fall of 2008. We are on schedule to meet that. It's my intent to meet that, and if not, to try to come in a little bit before that. But those decisions have to be made so we can move forward, so we can place the orders for the final phases, because the phase two and phase three equipment, if we know we're purchasing them, we want to essentially stage them with the phase one equipment before it comes from the factory and is actually installed on site. So. A quick overview in that sense, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Matt, I want to applaud you and the committee for a fine job. It's such an important issue, and I think it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity here that we have to capitalize on. You mentioned also some extra towers for Preble County and for College Corner area. As I recall, that's where the crime spree actually started when the deputy was shot, Deputy Roberts was shot. And had they had that ability at that time, you have to think that could have possibly saved that life-threatening injury, and it could have been worse, but it was bad as it turned out. But thinking along those lines, for the safety of the public of Butler County and for the officers that are the front line, this is a tremendous opportunity to put this in place. And the work that you guys have done is just outstanding. And I don't know if Sheriff Jones wants to speak, or Chief Dickey, or even Terry Payer could speak to this from his days as chief deputy and a few years back. So. But it is such an important issue, and we do appreciate all your hard work and effort in this matter.
Yeah, I'd like to echo that, and also to say that, you know, this commission is not going to pull the plug on this project. We're going to find a way to fund it. By statute or by resolution, we've said that we're going to collect $25 million or 2 years of sales tax. We're going to have to look at the options to extend that, because, you know, it doesn't make sense to do a project halfway and not have the coverage that we want. And what you're saying is that we'd only have half the radios for the men, so other half wouldn't have the radios. Is that right? So we'd have some with radio and some without?
Well, that's what's currently funded, sir, yes.
Right, but that's yes. Why we need to find the extra money to help fully fund the radio purchase. The other thing is that, you know, when you were talking about the master control area, where's that going to be? Is that going to be?
Well, we're still working out the details of that. We have had several offers, and actually Westchester's made a very generous offer of space in one of their buildings, and that's kind of the lead location right now that we're working to see if we can work that out.
Is that going to be in a secure place?
Absolutely, yes, sir.
Environmentally controlled and all that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's what I was concerned with, you know.
No, I mean, that was...
If we have an emergency disaster, correct. The last thing we want is that to go down.
And that's one of the concerns that we had, is we didn't have any real facility that had any space. Really, all of the dispatch centers when we started were overcrowded. Fairfield has since opened a new one. Westchester and Oxford are both working on new ones. It's no one had additional space for us. We had to go out and try to carve out that space, and that was just another example of where the local governments have stepped up to try to help us.
The other thing is you talk about maintenance, and that's a sort of a separate thing from building the system out. How long does the warranty last before we would have to worry about the maintenance of, you know, the $1.5 million you talked about?
The primary warranty is just 1 year from the date of acceptance.
2010?
Essentially, yes. We should be able to get through most of 2009, I would think, because by the time it's up and operational and the time we actually accept it, I'm not really anticipating any real cost to us until 2010.
And the cost that would be at the nine different consoles, nine different locations that we have now?
That's one of the costs, but the primary cost is the hardware maintenance. There's 24-hour monitoring of the system that the Motorola will do from their national center, where they will oftentimes find that there's a problem before it manifests itself, that we would notice it on the field. It also includes the software upgrades. It's a computer world, and everything's run by software, and the versions that fix the bugs and all that, to have that included so that there is a software issue that gets upgraded. The hardware maintenance and the software upgrades are really the primary expenditures, and you know is the bulk of that ongoing maintenance. The rest of the ongoing is your utilities, your electric to the sites, you know, the propane for the generators to back up the sites, things along those lines that add up, plus the cost of the personnel.
You know, I had thought when we were initially talking about this and talking about maintenance that each of the different government entities would be sharing in the maintenance. Have we reached an agreement on that, or?
No, sir, that's something we're still working on. I think that was the original intention until we discovered it was going to be, you know, $1.5 million, and you start dividing that out over just police and fire radios, and that adds up very quickly for some jurisdictions. Many of the smaller jurisdictions have never really had to spend any money on radio systems. Some of the other jurisdictions have done so, but this really exceeds almost everyone's current budget for radio maintenance, and the added burden is one thing that is not going to be easy for some, and that's something that the committee continues to look at.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Some of that expense, I think Matt, you said, was for frequencies that we have an opportunity to lock in.
Well, that's one thing. I apologize. I don't know if I mentioned that or not. The one thing that we did is we have currently licensed 15 frequencies. We currently looking for public safety use. We're looking at over 2,000 users. The rule of thumb for public safety is 100 users per frequency. So we're over that. We think we're okay on public safety. We do want to make this a truly interoperable system, one that will serve the citizens of Butler County in case of a disaster or whatever. We really need to look at the non-public safety folks, public works, the school buses, things along those lines, that if we would have to have evacuations or whatever your worst nightmare can be, that that we would be able to communicate seamlessly throughout that. And to add those, we know that if to bring those on, we're going to have to add additional channels to this at some point. The one thing that we asked for was adding additional five channels as part of the project, as opposed to waiting to add it after the project. And that would we could do that for approximately $2.5 million, which would save us nearly $600,000 over waiting and doing it after the fact, with the increased labor rates of them returning. So that was something else that we know it's not necessarily It's not necessary, excuse me, to have it right now to get the system operational. It will be necessary probably sooner than later in the life expectancy of the system, as we've had non-public safety users already interested in the system of coming on, of replacing their antiquated systems and using this one. And the last thing we want to do is have a system that's overloaded from the beginning that doesn't seem to be really an improvement over the existing system. So that's another option that is there. Doing it sooner than later would save us some money and also open up some possibilities for adding additional users. But it is simply an option, sir.
Aren't those frequencies becoming pretty limited?
They are. If you're familiar at all with there's a process going on called the Nextel rebanding issue, and Nextel has frequencies in the same range. And unfortunately, when the FCC opened up the 800 megahertz band, they basically put everybody all together and just kind of a mixed bag. And so Nextel operating on frequencies adjacent to public safety has caused interference. And so the FCC has rebanded that area of the, and so they've moved Nextel totally separate from public safety. And Nextel agreed to it, and Nextel is paying the bill to accomplish all of this. And in the process of that, we anticipate some frequencies opening up as it gets separated. And it's another reason that if we have the funding to move forward, then we would be hopefully be ready to be first in line to obtain those frequencies once the rebanding is complete. The rebanding is scheduled to be complete in 2008. If it stays on track or not, I don't know, but it's about the same time that our system is planned to be online, and we have these parallel timelines that we have to try to keep in sync on. But there is an opportunity there. There are currently no frequencies available, Commissioner. We are hopeful that some of these will open up. If these do not open up for us when the 700 megahertz band opens up in 09, we will be able to get 700 megahertz frequencies, and we will be able to implement those into the system also.
I'd like to add that Dave Waddell and Matt have been the go-to guys on this issue, and we really extend our appreciation because you've done a yeoman's job here, and it's a daunting task to take on. But Chief Dickey's been extremely busy and active in this as well, so we appreciate it.
Thank you, Matt. And again, the commissioners aren't going to pull the plug on this, and I don't know what our timetable is to make the adjustment. I don't think it's something we have to do today, definitely sometime in the first part of the
first quarter,
we'll have to make that adjustment with the resolution. And I know that Commissioner Fox has echoed the sentiments that we've expressed about, let's do it and do it right, and that's what you're doing, and we appreciate that. And Sheriff, you want to say something?
Yes.
Sheriff, you want to say something? I'm surprised.
I want to make a commitment to you, the commissioners, that appreciation from the sheriff's office, and I'm sure Chief Dickey's going to say a few words to thank you, and the cooperation that the chiefs have had, the fire chiefs, the police chiefs, Bill Turner, just about everybody in the emergency services operation support this issue. And when you get them all in one room, it's kind of tough, but they all agree, and we're coming into a time in our country where we're going to be the leaders, and we're not going to be the followers. We're not going to be behind. But I also want to give you a commitment. This is going to be tough for the commissioners to come up with the money for this, but you have the commitment from myself that I'll support whatever endeavor that takes and be behind you. I'll be right next to you if you need it.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thanks. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sheriff.
Anyone else like to make a comment?
Good morning, commissioners. Mr. Conklin, Sheriff. Representing the police chiefs, I just want to say a couple of things and assure you of a couple of things. We started this process about 2003, and we've worked diligently to make this project a success. And I've kind of likened, as we've transitioned through the project, to a chain. I mean, if you're going to try to secure something, you want to pick the right weight of the chain and make it economical and have the good linkage. And that's how we've approached this system. if you have a, we now have what I think is a minimal chain to secure the system, but if one link comes out of it, the system is for naught. And we have worked very diligently with the police chiefs and the fire chiefs. I want to congratulate Matt and the staffing. I mean, as you all know, it's good staff work that really gets you where you need to be in an accurate fashion. And these guys have really, you use the term yeoman's job, and I don't know if there's a greater superlative, but it ought to be used. They have made this, the information available, and the chiefs and the folks on the committee have really worked hard to pare it down to what we think is a minimum but yet completely functional and expandable system that will be an investment. We think if we do not use and set up a proper foundation now, the expansion capabilities and things as they develop will suffer in the future for it. And I want you to know that the group of the committee and the chiefs have diligently worked to keep this expense at a minimum. We greatly appreciate you stepping forward. And I think on behalf of the public safety community, we all realize the importance of this. We also realize the pressure that you folks will be under, and we, like the sheriff, intend to stand behind this project to make it successful for the citizenry of Butler County, not just the safety communities.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Chief.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. I'd like to express my appreciation to Matt for the age description that he used earlier. It was very kind, even though it was quite off, but it was.
Does anybody in the press have any questions that that Matt or commissioners could answer? Yes.
Simply put, by incurring the upfront cost to build a tower, we are essentially prepaying 10 years of lease payments in that sense. So it means that if we're going to have a tower for longer than 10 years, then, you know, year 11 it starts being ours for free, as opposed to continue to pay those lease payments. That does not include any expansion, any future needs on that tower, because every time you add any antenna, anything else to that tower, your lease goes up. So we are now in control. We have control of our leasing arrangements. The only leases that we will have on the system are with other governments, and that works far differently than it does in the private in the private sector. So I think I mentioned building the additional 10 towers that weren't anticipated, it will cost us approximately $3 million up front. In that sense, but it will save almost $1.5 million in those final 5 years of this plan on lease expenses. So in that sense, the one thing that I am extremely proud of, even though the $31.6 million seems like we overshot the budget, if you take that nearly $35 million bid and add an additional $3 million in new tower construction to the upfront cost, and that goes to 38, you can see the committee has done just an excellent job in taking $38 million down to under $32 million down, and no one is disappointed with the outcome in that we've done. So that is it's highly commendable for the commission or for the committee there.
Tim,
yes, Tim.
While Tim's coming up, if I may add on your question there, Candace, we also have the opportunity at that point to have other businesses coexist on our towers. Though we don't have anybody in mind right now, but if some other phone company or somebody else chose to coexist, then we would be in the position of leasing that space if we would own those towers. Am I right, Tim? Is that?
Yes. To put it more succinctly, I think Matt just said that, you know, building our own towers saves us 33% of the lease cost, at least, or $1 million. So, you know, that's the number that you need to zero in. But Matt is the reason why I came up. Matt's being a little modest, and I want to thank both Dave Waddell and Matt for their work on this project. But there's been a number of things that they've done on this project to what I call value engineer this particular project. For example, I bet you guys don't realize you're sitting in a tower right now. You know, this site is being, you know, analyzed for use as a tower and a prime site. Is that the proper term, or as a prime site, as a potential? So that's one thing. The other thing is that what I admire about these fellows, and these fellows have been working with Motorola for a number of years, and oftentimes you become complacent when you work with somebody. You just take their word for it when they throw out a scenario. Well, these guys have not taken the word of Motorola. For example, their provision to come back and say, well, you need 15 sites, you know, through their research and, you know, and analysis of the sites, they reduce it to 14 sites. You know, so, you know, Matt's being a little modest in what he's saying, what both Dave and Matt has been doing, but, you know, they have really been saving the county dollars as our project managers on this particular site. The leveraging of the fiber is going to save us some additional costs, but yet still give us the functionality, you know, that we need. So as we go forward, I'm sure they'll still look for, you know, more opportunities. Matt and Dave sat in on when we negotiated with Motorola, and Motorola was not the easiest people to negotiate with. And, you know, Matt and Dave did an excellent job there, and because there's a lot of issues, a lot of technical issues, and a lot of financial issues that were addressed there. So, you know, I want to thank you too. But they were being a little bit modest in their, you know, describing what they've actually done to hold the cost down to this project.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
And I think wanted to add that when you talked about all the different government agencies and the different chiefs and fire chiefs, everyone needs to get a pat on the back for working together in the integration that's happening, because it is, you know, could be easy to have their own little turf wars and battles, and I'm sure that in the committee there are those, but you know, keeping an eye on the ultimate goal is important. So my hat's off to all the chiefs and all the different government entities working on this.
We want to include the emergency management and Bill Turner for his input and assistance on this as well. So
thank you. Anyone else important. Like to Is there any on to another topic? Anybody have anything to bring up before the commission? If not, is there a motion?
Move to adjourn.
Second?
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jalabet?
Yes.
Thank you.